Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us that when he was come down from the mountain, we have been studying the Sermon on the Mountain, and now we know that Jesus has concluded his sermon, that his message has left his hearers what we would call dumbfounded, astonished, amazed. And the reason this is true is because he taught them from the very mind of God. When Jesus taught in a synagogue, he would take the Old Testament scroll down, and then he would explain the Bible to these people without bringing in the commentators or the so-called fathers who had interpreted the Bible. So Jesus didn't feed his people secondhand interpretation. He told them the truth as he gathered the truth from the Word of God. I'll put it this way, that when Jesus spoke from Scripture, he spoke the truth. When Jesus spoke, he made Scripture, and it's the truth. So whether he's speaking from Isaiah the prophet, he spoke the truth. And when he simply spoke on any subject, Jesus spoke Scripture, because that's what is recorded here. So Jesus came down from the mountain. And as he comes down from the mountain, Jesus continues to teach. We sometimes get the idea that unless the Lord called attention to something and pointed out something, then he wasn't teaching, that there was some sort of time in his life when he broke out a little portable pulpit and set it up, and when he did that, he taught God's Word, and when he didn't do that, he really wasn't teaching God's Word. There are people who make that kind of a difference today. They talk about the sacred desk or the sacred pulpit as though when a person gets behind a pulpit, they really teach God's Word, but if they're in a sports shirt or a t-shirt sitting around someone's table, well, they're really, that's a different circumstance altogether, and it really isn't. And we make a bad mistake when we think that there's this sort of circumstance when this is really teaching and preaching God's Word and when this really isn't. And Jesus didn't make that kind of division in his ministry, and I don't think we ought to make that kind of division in our ministry. But Jesus came down from the mountain, and the Bible tells us that great multitudes followed him. And the word that's translated followed there means that they became his traveling companions, that they went with him for a time. How long they went with him, what distance they traveled, the Bible doesn't tell us. But immediately after the sermon had been concluded on the mount, then Jesus came down, and there were tremendous crowds of people who attached themselves to Jesus and accompanied with him. As Jesus came down from the mountain, he did it to place himself in the midst of mankind, but also to travel from place to place. Jesus, no doubt, could have been transported by angels and saved a lot of time as he moved from one point in his homeland to another. But Jesus chose to travel as a man travels, and he walked from place to place, riding only on a donkey as he entered in to the city of Jerusalem to fulfill prophecy. And as Jesus walked among men and went from place to place, he would encounter people who would make requests of him, or in the process of traveling, there would be incidents occur, and Jesus would address them in some peculiar, particular way and draw a lesson for us to learn as he dealt with a particular immediate issue. Sometimes it might even be a crisis. In verse 2, chapter 8, the Bible tells us, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying." I don't think I need to spend a lot of time talking about leprosy. As the Jews saw it in the days of Jesus, and as it had been taught in the nation of Israel, it was a contagious disease, and it was a disease that caused scabs and open running sores. We've learned now that the reason that it did that is because the nerves would die in the fingers and other parts of the body, and as they did, you could hit yourself or cut yourself and you didn't know it. And there would be an infection or a bruise, and you just kept on opening the wounds and causing bruises until the fingers perhaps would drop off at each joint, then perhaps all the way up to the wrist if it didn't cause some sort of what we would call blood poisoning that would kill you earlier. But it could be in the feet, it could be about the face, it could be the hands and the arms. And it was considered to be a disease that made people unclean. And this was the cry that people made as they went about from place to place, unclean, unclean, so that people could step aside and not come in contact with them. There were places where lepers went and people left them food, but they could not mix, they could not be a part of society. If you had leprosy, you had to leave your home. You could not be with your family. Even if they wanted you to be with them, you could not be. We do not know for sure, at least medical science cannot draw a conclusion, that leprosy is not contagious. I think that they have as much confusion sometimes about leprosy as they have had about AIDS, and that is, you know, they say you can't catch it this way, but some people have, so they really can't say for sure. But the Bible tells us that there came a leper, and he worshiped Jesus. Now, this man literally came and fell down at the feet of Jesus. He may have even crawled into his pathway. He may have crouched down. He may have simply came with his hand outstretched and his face covered, some show of homage to him. But he came in a very disadvantaged fashion, and he worshiped Jesus, and he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Here he addresses Jesus as Lord, which is a common term. It does mean the ruler, the principal one. It here, of course, I think it even means God, in the sense of this man assuming, believing that Jesus Christ certainly is sent from God. So he addresses him as his Lord. And he states, "If thou wilt," that is, if it is your desire, and it has to do with that which is by nature inside of us. So the man is really saying, "Master, ruler, if it is your inclination, if it is the inclination of your natural being, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And canst there is dunamis, which is the word we get dynamite power from. So he's not saying that you might be able to do it if you wanted to. He is saying, if it is within your character to have this desire, just a part of your character to desire to help me, then you have the absolute power to do what I have asked you to do. You can make me clean. That is, clear or without a single blemish. Here we see this man's faith. He came to Jesus, he addressed him as Lord, and he said, "Knowing your character, it is within you to have the absolute total power to make me as though I had not ever had this disease. You can take from my body every blemish. And if you do it, Lord, I won't be scarred. I won't have some part of my body that is still scourged with this disease, but I will be as a human being absolutely, totally cleansed." And Jesus put forth his hand, that he stretched out his hand, and placed it on the leper. He touched him, which was against the law of Moses. And Jesus would have had to have been cleansed if he had followed the law of Moses, if he had been a common person, but Jesus stretched forth his hand and he touched him and he said, I will. That is, I am willing. It is within me. It is within my character to have this desire to help you. And he stated, be clean again. And there's something I think we ought to see here that sets it apart from the modern day healer. There was no line. And Jesus didn't scream and posture and make a big play to the crowd and get them all worked up. There was none of this modern day kind of marketing of a healing. There was no spiritual carrying on at all, no raising the hand and slapping on the forehead and all this other absurdity that many of the modern false prophets who heal in the name of Jesus but do not know him, as Jesus warned in the 7th chapter when he spoke of false prophets. There was none of that. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Directly, just as soon as it was said, it was done. And that's the difference in the so-called miracles that are done by the so-called healers of today. You know, they would have carried on, danced around, they would have shouted, they would have said a lot of things. Now, are you feeling any better? Do you look any better? Do you think you're any better? There was none of that. Just immediately, here's a leper who's totally and completely and 100% instantly cleaned. No delayed action, no blaming of the man, no putting off until a better time, no accusations that he didn't have faith, no accusation of the apostles that they didn't have faith, no accusation that the crowd didn't have faith. This man had faith. Jesus did it, and he was cleansed. Now, when this occurred, Jesus said, see that thou tell no man. And that's something else that the modern day miracle workers would never do. They would have made a spectacle of the man. They would have wanted him to have told every man he came in contact with, but this man was sent directly to the priest. Jesus said, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. There were three things he was to do. That is, he was to not tell any man until he had shown himself to the priest and he'd offered the gift that Moses commanded. Now that is the gift that's prescribed in the Mosaic Law. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 14, and you're going to see that this is an extraordinary procedure. This is one of the longest procedures that I have read about in the Bible that has to do with making a sacrifice or an offering. But look at Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. I want you to see, I don't know all the symbolism that's involved here, but there are a lot of things that occur. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar, wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running or living water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now this is what Jesus told this man who had been healed of leprosy. You go to the priest and you show yourself to the priest, and the priest is going to look at him, And he's going to see that he does not show these signs of having leprosy. This is a process. He's to take two birds. He kills one of them, and it's killed over running water. And sometimes it's translated living waters, waters that are alive, not over stagnant water, not over a pool of water, but literally over water that's running. And evidently these are then sprinkled with this blood, and then this bird that is left alive is loosed into the open field. Very dramatic thing to symbolize the letting loose of, or the loosing of this person, evidently, from the power that is helping. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. And it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes, also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe-lamb of the first year without blemish. Look, we've already had 2 birds. Now we've got 2 female lambs. Now we've got a male lamb, and these are without blemish, and 3 tenths deals of fine flour. That's about a peck. And for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil, that's about a pint. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle up the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. You see, they're treating this as sin that has been washed away. And it was typical of sin. That's why they're treating this so critically, and with so much offering, with the sin of blood, the 2 birds that are offered, the lambs that are offered, and then the burnt offering itself, and then the meat offering, which was made from the flour and from the oil. And then in verse 21, if he be poor and cannot get so much. You know, if here's a man who cannot afford all these things that have been brought, then he shall take 1 lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. So it talks of doing the same thing, of taking the blood and putting it on the fingertip and putting it on the ear. And then it concludes in verse 32. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. So they had 1 cleansing that was to be accomplished by the person who had some wealth, and then another procedure for the man who was too poor to own any of these other things. And they did this. Jesus said to the man, don't stop and talk to people about this. Go directly to the priest. Show yourself to him that you're clean. Let him follow this Mosaic law. Let him follow this tradition. Let him be involved in this ritual. And then he states, for a testimony unto them. And Jesus had them do it because the Mosaic law had not yet been fulfilled, since Jesus had not been nailed to the cross. So it was right for these who had been healed of the leprosy to go do that. But Jesus said, let it be for a witness. Do it. And suppose it would be a witness to whom? I think he's saying, you go do this, and as you're doing it, you're going to tell these people who made you whole. And you're telling these people is going to be a witness to them that Messiah has come, that the Anointed One is here, and that he has power to do the thing for to you. And therefore he has power to prove, and the miracles to prove that he is. He has the credentials that he is the Son of God. And I'm sure this man gave the Lord credit, aren't you? Why wouldn't he? And yet it was a credit that was accomplished within the framework of the law of Moses. There is not that kind of circumstance today. There's not that kind of healing today. There's not that kind of testimony in the sense of telling someone we believe in Jesus because he healed us in this dramatic fashion. There is a sense in which we have been delivered from the power of leprosy, quote, which is sin, which is just as deadly to us spiritually as leprosy was to them physically, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood was involved in this, and blood is involved in our spiritual cleansing. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can give witness to people that you have been delivered by the blood and by the power of God spiritually, just as this man gave witness.